Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the topic of our podcast today is serial killer Randy Stephen Kraft, also known, Colonel, as the Scorecard Killer.
You like baseball, Timmy.
No, it's not it at all. Had you read the script?
I have read the script, Timmy.
All right.
I have read the
script. You're a little edgy today.
I'm not edgy. Just keep going.
All right. We would like to thank our good friend Jason Dykes, who researched and wrote this script. Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it.
Remember that you did not write this script.
Yeah. No, I did not. No,
you didn't do a goddamn thing for this episode, but go ahead. I had to walk to the printer and get all this shit.
I would like to remind everyone we are a history/true crime comedy podcast, and we use adult language.
And just on that note, being a comedy podcast, if you don't like adult language, you should leave right now.
Yes.
But, you know, we are a comedy podcast, and this episode includes sodomy, murder.
And Gomorrah.
People getting pushed
Randy,
out of a moving Gomorrah? Car.
I don't know.
People getting roofied and raped and all kinds of horrible, horrible. It's like Rob Zombie made a Monty Python movie.
It will be a barrel full of monkeys. Right, Brandy?
I don't know how it gets any funnier than this.
Let me introduce our panel. We have a special guest with us today. A man who is known far and wide. Brandy?
No.
Yes? It's Casey the Penny Dropper.
What?
Hello, hello, hello.
Everybody knows Casey causes some panties to hit the ground.
How are you, Casey? It's been a while since you've been in. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tim. First off, I want to take a little bit of conception with the comedy podcast, because I think that might be in the eye of the beholder when it comes to
well,
podcast.
Yeah, it's all subjective.
But no, you guys have been crushing it since I've been gone, I understand. It's good to be back in the studio with you guys. Heard Crime Con, you guys got up there and you had people jumping out of trucks and shit.
There was like
buy drinks for you guys
everywhere.
And everything.
Were there boobs? General,
there was lots of boobs.
You guys are killing it.
Lots of boobs.
Your boobs.
Well, it might boobs nonetheless.
Yeah. You can't don't besmirch his boobs.
Yeah.
I'm besmirching the hell because I've seen those nipples. They've almost hit me in the face.
So what have you been up to, Casey? It's been a while since we've seen you.
Oh, man, you know how it is. The male prostitution business is really slamming this time of year. So,
Pete.
You know.
Yeah, Fred, like Fred Garvin.
Fred Garvin, male now, prostitute.
Casey, well, I got an objective
I'm gonna
observer
tell
here.
And so just so you know right now, Chuck has is starting to unbutton.
I just yes,
an objective. Every podcast.
Yes. How's that chest, Casey?
Dude,
it's
53. I look like who's that old guy that used to
Yul Brynner?
No, the guy that used yeah
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, no, the guy that used to do the push-ups when he was like 100 years old.
Jack Palance.
Yeah, yeah. His pectorals went out. Yours kind of sunk in. Yours kind of sunk in.
What yeah. the hell?
All right. Well,
telling mom.
We're glad you're here, Casey. We're glad you're here. And we understand you might be joining us at DweebCon in October.
I will. I'm going to try to make arrangements to be up there for maybe on that Saturday.
So. Okay. So doing a personal appearance. I'm not gonna, autographs. And
yeah, don't book plane tickets to it on my behalf because, you know, I can't guarantee anything at this point. But I'm going to try to be there.
Don't worry. Nobody will.
You know. You don't know.
You don't know that.
Pretty sure I do.
I have followers.
Yeah, I know.
People like me.
They're mostly men.
People like me.
I would like to announce, Timmy, take this time to announce.
I'm special.
Take
and
this time.
It,
that's
and
not
doggone it, people
Chuck's
like
time.
Me.
Yes, I know, Stuart.
That I will now be attending DweebCon, Timmy.
I didn't know there was a doubt.
Yeah, you were already going to attend.
No, I was not going to, because there was really, I felt like it was below me, really. But now we have somebody on par.
Below you?
With the Colonel. We yes. have the lovely Nina Instead coming.
From already gone.
She's so much better than you.
And so now that there's talent equal to my caliber,
I see.
I will attend.
What will you be charging per autograph?
No, autographs are free.
Oh, autographs are free. Yeah, okay. Autographs I didn't know are if free. You were. I didn't know if you
no,
were charging.
If you want
to, like,
actually,
if you go to Reds Fest down here, and you want to get
if
Barry
you actually
Larkin's
want to
autograph.
Touch me or get a selfie with me, that's going to be $2.
What about for dick pics? If somebody wants
those
a dick
are free
pic.
Too.
Oh, those are all.
Those are all free. Okay,
so always yeah. free.
Yeah.
Sort
of
like
the
sort of like Pete Rose's
point.
Autograph.
Pretty much everybody.
Everyone.
Everywhere. It's everywhere. It's lost its value.
I don't know if it ever had any value.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that lost value
My
quite a while
has
ago.
Depreciated.
We would like to also, I would also like to introduce the very lovely and talented, the lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, the lovely
yes.
Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I am great, Timmy. How are you?
I'm well. Are you glad that your brother is here?
No, but I am very excited that they will be coming up this weekend. I get to see my nieces because they are always fun. So I'm pumped about that.
She mainly likes to watch the little one drive me fucking bonkers.
It's spectacular. It really is. It is worth the price of admission every time.
Well, that sounds like a fun weekend.
Oh, it's a great, it's a good time.
It's not that fun.
Oh, it's wonderful. Really. It's wonderful. So
let me introduce... Yeah. The man who's the most dangerous man.
And you're out.
Yeah, I'm done.
The most dangerous man in podcasting.
Enough devil time.
A man who is known
nope.
as the moral compass of this podcast.
He's broken.
A man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair.
No.
A man whose dick pics are everywhere on the internet.
That's right.
Yes, he's on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. Hawk Walters.
He'll send you pictures. Of
I'm
his,
on Snapchat now.
With Snapchat, he'll Snapchat. Send you a picture of his genitalia with little bunny ears.
All you got to do is ask.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't even have to ask.
Sometimes you don't. And it's hard to find the face on that thing sometimes when you're using the filters. It's a tap on the face.
No. Chuck does not send out those sort of pictures that I'm aware of.
Just because you haven't seen one yet.
The very honorable, the Colonel, Reverend Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel? Make it quick.
He can't.
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy. I just
You struggle with printing out the script.
Look here.
Printers are hard.
First of all, I ain't no goddamn intern, all right? I'm the talent, goddammit.
Well, I'm just saying,
print out the script.
You struggle.
You don't even write the script. You don't print the script. You don't do.
He struggles to read the script.
What the hell do you even do? You just show up.
It's my computer.
Yeah, it's your computer.
You'll take this shit and
okay,
go home, Chuck.
Colonel, I'm glad that
I'm not doing good, Timmy.
All right. I'm
of
sorry
course
to hear
he's
that.
Not.
So, I'm sorry to hear that, but let's move on to the story. We're going to talk about the scorecard killer. His name is Randy Stephen Kraft. Three names, Brandy.
That's never good.
Randy Stephen Kraft is a serial killer known as the scorecard killer who was convicted of murder, Casey, of 16 young men between 1971 and 1983. Where were you at between 1971 and 1983, Colonel?
Let's see. I would have been about 7 years old.
Get back to us.
I was not pushing anybody out of cars.
Kraft is also believed to have killed another 51 young men and boys. He became known as the scorecard killer because when he was arrested, investigators discovered a coded list. Depicting references to his victims. So he liked to keep track, Brandy, and you can't blame a man for that.
I guess.
He had inventory.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
So now there's an app for that. But back then.
Oh, yeah.
So hold on. You just handed over your script to Casey.
Casey is going to take it from here.
Yeah, so okay. I'm here to do the heavy lifting.
Heavy lifting, yeah.
Tell us what happens, Casey. Tell us about young Mr. Kraft.
So Randy Kraft was born in the LBC. And for you people out there not familiar with Snoop Dogg, that would be Long Beach, California on March 19th, 1945.
Because you got crazy cred.
Oh, fuck yeah, I do.
So much street cred.
Hell yeah. The fourth child, and
I
he was
like
the
Snoop Dogg.
I like to see Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart hanging out together.
Their show—he
sips on gin and juice,
and smokes endo. Yeah. But
while
I've
rolling
seen,
down the street,
well, yeah, clearly, I've
he has
seen
a pocket
that
full of rubbers, and his homeboys do too.
Excellent. He does. That's a good point.
His show with Martha Stewart is funny, but it's very, very scripted. I don't like it. I thought I would like it, but I don't. It's very scripted.
I just like
seeing. I like is Flavor Flav. They need to bring him back.
He
needs a podcast.
That's Lil Jon.
No, that is Lil Jon.
White motherfuckers.
Flavor Flav has the big clock.
I just want to have the big clocks come back because I got like 10 of them at home. And I want the parachute pants to come back too. And the hammer pants. I got hammer pants.
Can you do the typewriter? Can you do the typewriter?
I can do the typewriter. And you know what?
Will you do the typewriter at DweebCon?
Speaking of Flavor Flav, I never watched. I hate reality shows. But
oh, my God. That was the best.
I did watch the one where it was him and that Amazon-looking bitch from.
Bridget.
Bridget Nielsen?
Nielsen, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, I love that show.
He's the stupidest motherfucker.
Oh, I love that show. And then the one after that, New York. Remember New York?
Yes. God, that nasty girl.
Oh, man. That's a show that the Flavor Flav is the show.
Flavor of Love.
That's it. Where the woman, she crapped her pants on. she crapped her. They were like, you know, they were doing their, you know, he'd send someone home every week, and they were doing this part. And this woman, finally, she said, "I've got to go," and starts running up the stairs.
I hope he sent her home.
No, actually, he didn't.
Of course not.
No, you can hose somebody down.
Here's the thing that I want noted is that Tim doesn't watch a lot of TV. Okay? Tim's one of the smartest people I've ever met. He doesn't watch a lot of TV.
But this is what he watches.
And when he does choose to watch TV,
he watches Flavor of Love.
Flavor of Love, 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, so that's a good show, though.
Yeah.
But Flavor of Love,
was like a train wreck.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I watched it.
I watched that, and then I watched I Love New York. That was the spinoff.
Okay, but so we got a little off topic here.
Great times.
Already.
This is why we get bad reviews.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you guys would stick with my format.
Okay, Casey, tell us about Mr. Kraft.
So Randy Kraft was born, he was the fourth child and the only son of Opal Lee and Harold Herbert Kraft.
Opal Lee.
In 1948, the Kraft family moved from LBC to Midway City, where Kraft attended school and was noted for his intelligence and was allowed to attend accelerated classes.
Kind of like me.
He later stated... he had known from high school days that he was a homosexual.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Well, thanks for that disclaimer.
We love our...
After graduating in 1963, and he enrolled at Claremont Men's College, and in 1964, he began working as a bartender at a local gay bar. He was also known to travel to Laguna Beach and Huntington Beach to have sex with hustlers.
Hustler baby.
I just want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
In 1966, Kraft was charged with lewd conduct after propositioning an undercover policeman.
Isn't that a little subjective, though?
George Michael got in trouble for that.
But the charges were dropped.
Colonel, your definition of lewd may be different than mine.
I think there's a lewd
scale. I bet it
scale.
Is.
I mean, like, if, you know, if I went up and... No, dropped one right on the table, you know. No, that would that was it. That was like what
he was insinuating that was his penis, his giant.
Yeah, I
man.
Get that. I yeah. get that, but it makes a noise, so don't do that.
My extremely.
Don't do that.
But anyway,
yeah, he's.
Here's a tip for our male listeners.
Don't do that.
If you're gonna pick up a prostitute on the street, if she got all the teeth and she ain't got the scabies scabs and everything, a sex worker. I'm sorry, I don't want to disrespect the women.
Don't besmirch.
If they're really attractive, they're probably a policeman.
Well, and here's the other thing. Timmy
if
would be
if they're
Timmy
wearing
is
a
our,
badge. That's usually yeah. Yeah,
Timmy's our resident hooker expert, so let's not get you don't get to give advice about hookers. That's
I'm
Timmy's
just saying
department.
You don't go up.
You know, every
wave.
Now and then Brandy has a good point.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Every now and again. Even a blind squirrel find an acorn
that's
every
right.
once in a while.
I do not partake in that in the United yeah, States that's of America. It.
So you are the fucking Stevie Wonder of the Squirrel Kingdom.
I'm just saying. Every once in a while, she has a point.
So charges were dropped. By his senior year, Kraft had become a poor student, drinking, taking drugs, and attending all-night poker sessions.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Sounds like
poker.
Sounds like the devil's Saturday night. What was he doing?
Liquor in the front.
Drinking, poker. Taking drugs, poker all night. Ain't that your Tuesday night, devil?
Yeah, and actually, it is Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. Tuesday's PTA.
Is the
poker, exactly right.
Is the poker in the rear?
No.
Okay.
We are a butt-friendly podcast.
Thanks for clearing that up.
I just, you know, just want to say that we do not look down upon the butt.
Hold on, but you said before you was anti.
I don't
dirty flower.
Yeah, I
coalition.
Don't do butt play. I'm just saying that I don't want it. People to get the impression that he
doesn't want to besmirch those that do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone has their own interests, and if people are interested in butts, that's fine. It's just that we don't judge either way.
Oh, we judge.
Yeah, but we just don't say it.
I believe
there.
We judge.
There you go.
So anyway, this lack of commitment to his studies delayed his graduation until February of 1968. 4 months after graduation, Kraft joined the Air Force and was stationed at Edwards Air Force Base in California, where he rose to the rank of Airman First Class.
Well, he catapulted, didn't he?
Fuck yeah, he did. I think I know how he got that. Just
stop.
He also disclosed to his family that he was a homosexual.
Kraft's, oh, that had to suck.
Kraft's family accepted
his... Now, hold
his,
on. Back in yeah. the 70s. This is back in 1968.
Yeah. That's a very big deal.
Yeah, that was not... that was a difficult...
Kraft's family accepted his sexuality.
Cool.
Good for them.
And he remained in close contact with them.
Oh, by the way, he's a veteran.
Thank you for your service.
Yes.
But the Air Force did not accept his sexuality.
No, they did not. On July 26, 1968, Kraft received a general discharge from the Air Force after announcing his sexuality to his superiors.
Wow. See,
to your point, Chuck.
That's
now,
not a good move.
You got to remember, this is 1968, the height of the Vietnam War.
Right.
I'd have been like Klinger, on the MASH show.
Klinger.
I'd have had dresses and everything.
Open
else.
A history book.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to.
MASH is not history.
Neither's the Gong Show.
I was actually getting ready
it's
to
pop
say
culture.
That.
Neither's the Gong
Learn
Show.
Learn the difference, devil.
Motherfucker.
You two done?
Okay. No, I'm just saying that's a pretty good thing. I mean, guys going in crazy stuff saying, you know,
oh,
trying
I went
to
in there,
fail their physical.
A W the size of this wall, and they're like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I can't see.
I can't see shit.
I'd have gone in with a dog and some dog glasses.
See yeah. these Coke bottle glasses? Yeah. You don't fucking want me over there. Following his military discharge, Kraft moved back into his parents' home in 1971, enrolled at Long Beach State University, where he began a relationship with a fellow student named Jeff Graves. Between 1971 and 1983, Kraft is believed to have killed 67 victims.
Jesus.
And was
shit, that escalated quickly.
It did. He was convicted for 16 of them. All of Kraft's suspected victims were males between the ages of 13 and 35, so I am clear because I just turned 37. And most of his victims' bodies bore evidence of high levels of both alcohol and tranquilizers, indicating that they had been rendered helpless. They were bound, tortured, and sexually abused before they were usually killed by either strangulation, asphyxiation.
Again, we are a butt-friendly podcast.
Or bludgeoning.
Oh, that's some comedy gold right there, Timmy.
What?
Bludgeoning, asphyxiation, roofing, strangling.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff here.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Barrel full of monkeys.
that's some Don Rickles shit right there.
The victims would then be discarded usually alongside the freeways in California. On October 5th, 1971, police found the nude body of Wayne Duquette, a bartender at a gay bar named The Stables. The first entry upon Kraft's personal journal referred to as his scorecard reads stable, quote unquote.
That's a kind of a dead giveaway right there.
There you go.
Yeah, it wasn't much. It didn't take a lot of deciphering to
didn't
figure that one
Sherlock
out.
Didn't take Sherlock Holmes. They didn't have to use the Enigma machine to break that
didn't
code
have to bring
right
in
there.
A team of code breakers.
Leading investigators to believe Duquette to be Kraft's first victim, to your point.
I believe the stables would refer to well-hung men in the bar, wouldn't you not say?
That's my company's name for male prostitution, the stables.
What?
Your company has a name for male prostitution?
Yeah, remember? That's why I haven't been here so long.
Oh, shut
up. You paid
up.
Attention at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
He gets paid to pleasure women.
Yeah.
I'm telling mom.
I get paid.
Where do you think I got the loan to start?
I get paid to leave women alone.
Mm.
14 months later, in December 1972, Kraft killed 20-year-old Marine Edwin Moore. We should thank him for his service.
Thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
His body was found beside the 405 freeway. Abrasions on Moore's body indicated he had been discarded from a moving vehicle. An autopsy revealed Moore had been bound, beaten with a blunt instrument before being garroted.
Garroted.
Okay, there we go. What does that mean?
When you take the wire or around
gotcha.
The neck, like in The Godfather?
Yeah, like Italian
or
style.
Or Hitman.
Like Italian style.
Yeah.
The way the Italians
piano
do.
Piano wire. You got to wear gloves to do that. You cut the shit out of your fingers.
I would think. His body also bore evidence of numerous bite marks, and a sock had been forced into his rectum.
Mm.
Ouch.
I hope that wasn't a knee-high sock.
You know what?
It could have been left in his rectum because I have told the boys on numerous occasions, I'm about to put my foot in your ass.
So you think it just got left there after a foot was put in his ass?
Yeah, your shoe's left.
You know what? That sounds like a good Mythbusters episode. Like you stick your foot up their ass, and does a sock stay?
Or maybe the foot just comes off and ends up in a lake in Washington.
Well, I think if it's a woolly sock, polyester would be more slippery to go in.
I hope it was a knee or a no-show, not a knee-high sock.
For his sake. But it doesn't really, at that point, does it matter? I mean, he's just
bouncing off the freeway.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if the sock stayed.
On April 9th, 1973, the body of 17-year-old...
Well, you have to wash that sock.
Yes, you have to wash it when you're done.
And what happened to the other pair? Maybe that's where all of the... You know, you do your laundry and you can never find the other sock.
It's in someone's ass.
In someone's ass?
Maybe. You never know.
Wow.
Come here, Mrs. Colonel. I'm looking for this other blue sock. Yeah.
Can never match these damn things. On April 1973, the body of 17-year-old Kevin Bailey was found beside a road in Huntington Beach. Bailey had been emasculated and sodomized prior to his
Holy
murder.
Holy shit. Ooh. This son of a bitch.
He cut his dick off.
Oh, that's...
Was
that's
he sodomized with his own penis? Does
emasculated.
It does not. It does
means
not.
They cut off their junk, devil.
He was de-junked.
Oh, I'm familiar with that term.
He was de-junked.
Yeah.
You do it.
You do it all the time. You do it verbally and
yeah.
psychologically.
Yeah.
Chemically.
Whatever. Hey, we all have hobbies.
I'll tell you what, so
you
far.
You do it metaphorically. This guy really did it, though.
Yeah. Metaphor, devil. You want to explain metaphor, too?
Fuck yourself. And what that means is...
Stick a sock up his ass.
Yeah. Demasculate yourself and shove that in your rectum.
That would actually be fucking yourself.
That's what I said. Go fuck yourself.
Devil, you getting a little worked up over there.
I'm not really.
I'm just trying to improve your vocabulary.
My nerve pill. I don't need to be mansplained to.
Do you have your nerve medicine?
I have my nerve pill. I don't need to be mansplained to.
No. Just trying to help you out
for somebody who can't show up on time, I'm certainly not taking any kind of vocabulary or advice or anything.
Don't forget the copies.
Oh, motherfucker can't print anything out right. I don't even know how you fucked that up.
I told you I'm not a damn intern.
What? How hard is it to hit the print button? Print. The motherfucking machine does the whole thing. It's not like you have
apparently
to type it out.
It doesn't do it right. I hit print twice.
It's hard, Brandy.
Nope.
It's hard.
Printing is hard.
Printing is hard.
Noah can do it, but, you know, Chuck struggles.
I think I got a messed up printer in there.
Is that what you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's a poor player that blames their instrument.
You have page three.
Oh, are we ready for me?
He only had to do two pages?
Yeah, we've been ready for you for quite some time.
Would you get moving,
Doug? We're running that
fucking no.
He called you a cum dumpster.
Did he?
He did.
It's okay. Let me.
You got burned with your own fire,
Brandon,
girl.
You have page three.
Wait a minute. Let me say this. Casey and I will be under the same roof this weekend, sleeping.
Ooh.
We're not.
Yeah. Some of us should sleep with one eye open. I would suggest that.
I have firearms.
And I will fire up your little one. I will fire her up. I will get her fucking going.
Hey, you Noah gonna give that girl? Noah can get going too.
You gonna give him Mountain Dew all day, Devil?
Oh, pixie sticks, Mountain Dew.
Yeah, there you go.
Come with Aunt BB. We're gonna go snort sugar.
Here you go, sweetie.
Here's a cup of sugar.
Yeah, brown sugar's the best.
I bet you can't eat these six Milky Way bars.
Exactly.
Couple exactly. Mountain Dews.
Yeah.
So, 2 months later, 20-year-old Ronnie Weeb's body was found. Welt marks on his wrists and ankles suggest that he had been bound and suspended from a device before his murder.
Wonder if it was a sex swing.
Or the garage.
Or just a rafter.
Yeah. A beam. So, from 19...
Be careful with the sex swing. I'm just saying, you got to be careful.
Well, you got to put that. You got to make sure that.
You got to make sure you hit a fucking joystick.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
You don't just go into the drywall.
You don't want to use anchors in the drywall up there.
No, that ain't going
to
work.
From you got to make sure your partner stays around to let you out.
Well,
you die in there.
I built my house around the section. I made sure that fucker wasn't going anywhere.
He's afraid to use it, though, because he knows his wife wouldn't let him out. So,
do you get tied up in a sex, or is it like a?
You're kind of suspended there, and it depends, I suppose, on what kind you get. I'm sure there are some that have you bound in there.
Damn,
I don't know. Look it up. Amazon probably sells them.
You people lead freaky ass lives.
Some freaky shit. I don't think I've ever seen a sex.
Yeah, I thought rib condoms was going crazy. I don't know.
I thought missionary style was nuts.
You remember the old
we
days?
We know you did.
Remember when they used to sell those French ticklers? This condom. It was a condom, and it had like a feather. Yeah. Like a pigeon.
A feather?
Like a pigeon. I swear to God.
Yeah. It had this like weird like.
It was ribbed, and at the tip of it, it would have this like feather, like a pigeon's feather or something at the tip.
No, it was like, it was kind of like, you know those things that turkeys got on their neck?
Uh-huh.
Those things. It was like one of those things, but only more firm.
It was a waddle.
Those I don't know
waddles.
What it was, but it was...
Someone had come up with the idea that this was going to give women more pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it did. I don't think it was scientifically tested.
But it did keep you from putting it on inside out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that before. I was worried about doing that, and then it'd be my luck. I put it on inside out, because, you know, you got to be careful when you're putting on a condom. If you put it on inside out...
It'll slide right off.
Well... And you might also get some sperm on there that you're, and then when you turn it, you put it right side out, you're putting that right in where it
should
be.
I can see Tim right now at like the 40-year-old virgin scene where he's got like condoms all over that bedroom because he can't figure out how to get it on. And that boy walks in and goes, teach me.
No, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yes.
Did everybody miss this? Because what he said was he puts it on inside out. And then if he figures out he put it on inside, he takes the same condom off, flips it the right way.
They're not cheap.
Motherfucker, open a new condom.
I always just had a good pull-out game. Just a good, strong pull-out game.
Yeah. I had a good pull-out game until I had the twins.
I just don't give the woman my name, my real name.
Sure. Do you save the condom if you don't
finish
in it?
No, but she did. She did.
Nah. Gross.
No, I'm just saying, you know, you're caught up in the moment, and you accidentally put it on.
But your tight ass doesn't use another condom.
Well, if there's one available, but sometimes there's not.
Sometimes you just carry one.
Limited supply. Well,
no, dude, I carry four condoms.
Maybe you're on number three or whatever.
You've already gone through three.
Yeah. That's
okay.
But my point is with the French
three, if you've already gone through three, your swimmers at that point are so weak and tired, you don't have to worry about the inside out.
Oh, no, I got the Mark Spitz. swim us.
But only on the point, first couple
with
shots.
The, with the French tickler, I swear to God, it had this feather. It was like 2 inches long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This thing was sticking out.
It was a penis extender.
And perfect. For some reason, it was supposed to give the woman a lot of play. It's supposed to really turn drive women crazy, but I really don't think
it did. I believe it tickled the ovaries if it did anything.
I'm going to look it up and see if they still sell them.
Great. See if Amazon sells sex swings, too, while you're in there.
All right.
See, I have a theory.
Okay.
That if you pull out and don't complete the act, it's not really cheating.
Well, that's ignorant.
You should go with
Bill
that.
Clinton? Yeah, definitely.
You should go with that.
I got the Bill Clinton theory.
We'll share that with Renee. She'll love that. Make sure you share it with her.
We often don't agree on these things.
I can't believe that.
It's a point of contention.
From 71 to 74, many murders occurred that Kraft is a suspect of, but
all right,
he was never tried for.
All right, can I just give you the Wikipedia definition of a French tickler? It's a latex condom designed with additional protrusions for enhancing the sexual pleasure of the receiver. Something like that.
Well, so not necessarily.
It uses a number of bumps, protrusions, crests, and falls in the lining of the latex to make sexual intercourse more enjoyable.
If you wear them inside out, it's more enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
Ooh, good idea.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just had.
I turned the French ticklers inside out because I wanted the pleasure to be.
Here
for
is
me.
A
the pleasure on you.
Picture one, Brandon.
Hold on. Do we need? Oh, holy shit!
You need to put that on your Facebook.
That looks like one of those sensory balls.
It looks like an alien or something.
By January of 19,
looks like you got the drip coming out the tip of your dick.
Perfect. By January of 1975, a total of 14 victims, whose bodies had been found in four separate counties, had been linked to the same killer. Homicide investigators convened to discuss progress in the hunt for the unknown killer.
I wonder if they had donuts.
They probably did.
I wonder if they called him Red October.
They might have. Some investigators believe the murders to be the work of more than one individual. One or more of whom had a military background. Two victims' bodies had tissue paper.
Thank you for your service.
Two victims' bodies had tissue paper residue on their noses because they were scrapbooking.
He gift wrapped them.
At least it wasn't on the bottom of their shoe. That'd be embarrassing.
No, not.
It'd be easy to spot them.
No.
They didn't say toilet paper. Tissue paper.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's what you put in gifts.
Okay. Oh.
Maybe they worked at the Macy's during Christmas season. Wrapping gifts.
Or Michael's.
Well, yeah. we might learn
Hobby
more.
Lobby.
We may learn more.
We might. I'm just wondering if they were scrapbooking. Let's see.
It was in their noses?
Well, no, but sometimes, you know, the paper gets wet and it gets sticky when it's wet.
I've never had
tissue paper in my nose.
No.
You're not a big scrapbooker, are you, Timmy? In fact, you don't even wrap motherfucking presents, do you, Timmy?
I don't even buy presents.
Exactly. No, you do. They're just not the kind that get wrapped. They're the kind that just get thrown at you.
He didn't know what tissue paper was at the beginning of this conversation. Yeah.
Let me give you a $20 bill for your birthday. Here you go. Happy birthday.
Conforming.
It's easier that way.
Sheldon over here.
Two victims' bodies had tissue paper residue on their noses, conforming to a known military procedure to prevent bodies from purging after death. The placing of socks inside the victims' rectums was also theorized to be a method used to prevent purging as the body was driven to the disposal locations.
See.
So it stopped you from getting shit all over your car.
That it's like in an electric chair. They pack your ass with cotton. So, people think that's
dude, this guy's fucking genius, man. He kept his car clean.
I know, that's the big thing that's got you,
so,
isn't it?
So, yes. Okay, so I can see.
His
so,
car was showroom ready.
So he
ready.
Don't want snot or
shit
on his car, basically.
Evidently.
Schmegma.
Schmegma, all right.
The dude was bright.
On the evening of March 29th, 1975, Kraft lured two Utes.
He was using his noggin.
Keith Crotwell and Kent May into his Ford Mustang. Oh, he had a Ford Mustang.
That's a sweet ride. One more year.
No wonder he kept that shit clean. Well, it had to be around the 70s.
Oh, so
70 years Mustang.
No,
sucked.
But he might have
might have been old
65.
School.
65.
Might have been old.
The youth,
sweet ride. There.
The youths were given beer and Valium. Well, that's a good time. As Kraft drove around, May eventually
I'd let
passed
drive
out.
Me around if they give me beer and
give me Valium. Give me some beer. We're good. Let's party.
Well, May
I'll
eventually
put a sock
passed
in my ass
out.
Have a good fucking time.
Give me a sock. I'll take care of it.
Perfect. In the parking lot where Crotwell and May had last been seen, two friends of the youth's observed a distinctive black and white Ford Mustang rapidly enter and draw to a halt before the driver leaned across, opened the passenger door, and pushed the unconscious but otherwise unharmed Clint May from the rear seat onto the ground of the parking lot. The driver then sped away from the scene.
Probably drank all the beer.
Well, I mean, he passed out, so maybe that was buzzkill for him. On May 8th, so this was in March, on May 8th, the skull of Keith Crotwell was found at the Long Beach Marina. Upon hearing the news, the two youths who had observed the Ford Mustang entering the parking lot and discarding May searched their neighborhood for the Ford Mustang. Upon locating the vehicle less than 1 mile from their home, they noted the license plate number and relayed the information to police, who traced the car to Randy Kraft. Under police questioning, Kraft admitted that he had encountered two youths in the parking lot in question and had persuaded them to drink alcohol and consume Valium with him as he drove. He claimed to have returned May to the parking lot and then to have driven with Crotwell until his car got stuck. He claims to have walked to a gas station to call a tow truck as Crotwell remained in his vehicle. Upon returning to his car, Crotwell had disappeared. Although Jeff Graves was able to verify part of Kraft's story, detectives remained unconvinced and attempted to file homicide charges.
Okay, so his defense is, yes, I picked him up. Yes, I got him drunk and gave him Valium. Yes, they passed out, but I didn't kill them.
Right. Yeah. That's what he's going with.
I'm not buying it.
Well, and they tried to file homicide charges against him. However,
I'm calling bullshit on that.
The L.A. District Attorney's Office dismissed the detective's request, citing the coroner's conclusion from his autopsy of the remains thus far found, which was his skull, that the youth had died from accidental drowning. Now, how do you know it's accidental?
Well, how, if you just got the skull, wouldn't that raise a red flag?
I don't know.
Colonel?
Well, if you just got the skull, I'd be looking for the feet, Timmy. Yeah. I go up to the Pacific Northwest, see if and I can match up the feet to the...
It seems like foul play would be involved if you just found the skull, that's all I'm saying.
You would think.
Yeah.
Kraft is not known to have killed again until December 31st, 1975, because he's ringing in the new year, when he abducted 22-year-old Mark Hall. In this murder, later described by prosecutors as the worst of all the known murders, here we go, Hall was driven to a remote canyon where he was tied to a tree. The autopsy report listed the cause of death as being as asphyxiation caused by leaves and earth found lodged in the youth's trachea. Yeah. The autopsy also revealed that Hall had been sodomized and emasculated.
Did it say earth? Why wouldn't they just say dirt?
It says earth.
Because Jason's painting a picture for us.
He is painting a picture, and he's smart. He's a librarian.
Yeah,
he's got a master of the vocabulary.
There you go.
He should write more of your scripts.
Well, he does. He writes plenty.
I'm pretty sure that was a shot at you, Timmy.
Yeah,
it's across the bow there. Okay, so he was emasculated, and his severed genitalia were then inserted in his rectum.
Didn't want him to bleed on the earth.
I'll tell you what, so far.
Didn't want him to shit again, on the earth.
He's got a big thing with the rectum.
These comedy nuggets you're throwing out at us here, Timmy.
I did not write this script.
This is sad. The youth's chest, scrotum, nose, and cheeks had been burned with an automobile cigarette lighter, with his eyes being destroyed by the same object.
That's a fucked up guy right there.
Forensics experts were able to deduce that Hall had been alive throughout much of the ordeal.
Oh, that's more fucked
up. Yeah, so he was tortured, basically.
Basically.
Is that what you would call it, Tim? Torture?
No, but I mean,
this is a comedy podcast.
We don't know about the others, but we know he was alive when all this took place.
By 1976, Kraft had ended his relationship with Jeff Graves and begun a relationship with a 19-year-old with 19-year-old Jeff Selig. Kraft's relationship with Selig is believed to have been a factor in the sudden lull in murders he is known to have committed. He's not known to have killed again until December 10th of 1976. The body of 19-year-old Paul Fuch has never been found.
Fuch. Please don't disrespect the victims and get their names right, devil. Fuch.
It's not Fuch.
It is Fuch.
There's an S on the end, you fuck.
It's Fuchs.
It's Fuchs.
Plural.
Couldn't it be Fuch?
No.
F-U-C-H.
Fook.
So, Paul.
Go to any Chinese restaurant. That's Fook.
Paul's never been found.
Fook me? Fook you.
Yeah. Nonetheless, his name is clearly listed on Kraft's scorecard.
Well, not clearly. There's some question on his
pronunciation. Yeah. Right.
Not that clear.
Following his murder, Kraft is not known to have killed any further victims for 16 months. On April 16th,
That's what we call cooling off period in serial killer lingo.
The cooling colonel off is very he's very knowledgeable.
Astute.
Astute, very good word. Very astute when it comes to the crimes of passion.
There's a cooling off period.
Anything to do with passion.
See, if you killed all these people at one time, he'd be a spree killer. But
if he had a cooling off period. But if he killed him with those little round candies, he'd be a spree killer too.
Well, or he could be a Mentos killer.
True.
Now, it's really hard to be a Tic Tac killer because you got to shove a bunch of those down somebody's throat.
That's amazing.
And at some point, this guy's going to run out of socks.
Not if he goes to a dollar store. You can get a pair for a dollar at the dollar store.
Exhibit A.
There's some wisdom.
There you go.
Oh, did I forget to tell you how much I don't give a fuck about your socks? See, I'm sorry. I should have opened with that.
Well, I know. You're not really a woman of substance or style. You know,
every time I go to the dollar store, I spend like $87. I
know. And walk out with three things?
I have like a turkey basker.
You have a turkey baster?
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know what the fuck I buy. It's like, it's a dollar. What the hell? I'll throw it in there.
Because everything's worth a dollar, Timmy. Yeah. There ain't nothing in the world not worth a dollar.
Tim.
I think we just.
Doesn't cook.
We skidded over the past that he bought a turkey baster.
Doesn't cook. Barely knows where his kitchen is, except to get something to drink out of the refrigerator.
That turkey baster is in the bedroom. I can guarantee you.
If you ever need to artificially inseminate someone, they come in very handy. Just saying.
Oh, God.
Do you put a condom on the turkey baster?
I think that defeats the purpose.
That's safe sex.
Put a French tickler on it.
Yeah. Ugh. All right.
So now we're in this cooling off period, Devil.
Thank you.
I'm recapping.
I see. On April 16th, 1978, Kraft abducted 18-year-old Marine Scott Michael Hughes. Thank you for your service. Kraft slit open his scrotum. Isn't that what?
Jason, thank you so much for this uplifting script.
Isn't that what Dad used to say his mom would always tell him?
Yeah, I just want to point out that Jason is a Mel Brooks of fucking podcasting.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, this is some.
She's talking about slitting the scrotum.
I think I've told that story.
Our grandmother used to say to our father, I'm going to slit your bag and run your leg through it.
Yep.
That was evidently her go-to line.
She was a lady.
My mama used to tell me she was going to tear off my arm and beat me to death with it.
Oh, I've said that to my boy. Well, they were doing something one time, and I think it was Jake. I said, I will beat you with your brother if you do not stop.
You know, I love your kids, but I would actually like to see them.
Noah would have a great time.
You kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, sure. All right, so Kraft slit open this guy's scrotum, this poor guy, and removed one of his testicles.
I have split open the scrotum of pigs before.
I know.
Yeah, you know what? Why is it that every time I'm here, you and the pig scrotums come up? That's about the third time.
He's kind of obsessed with the pig scrotums.
I've done a half a dozen of these podcasts, and three of them have involved him talking about pig scrotums.
Yeah, he loves that story. It's like he's talking about growing at Christmas
as a kid. With pig scrotums.
Yes.
I'm just saying, if you ever deballed over 100 pigs, it's something that would stick in your mind. Especially when you throw the pig balls down.
Oh, and the one that just got deballed
eats the other pig balls, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It's disturbing.
Clearly.
It's disturbing.
Clearly it leaves an impression. 2 months later.
I feel like I was there.
I know. 2 months later, on June 11th, the body of 23-year-old Roland Young was found. Young had been emasculated before he was stabbed to death. Stabbed to death.
Abrasions. He's big on that emasculation, isn't he?
It's weird. Abrasions to his body indicated that Young had been thrown from a vehicle traveling at high speed. 8 days later...
Those Mustangs will go fast.
Yeah, they will. 8 days later... I wonder if he had a convertible, because that'd be a bitch to shove out the window.
Yeah.
Ugh. 8 days later, the body of 20-year-old Marine Richard Keith,
thank you for your service,
was found. Where are you, Tim? You're not thanking the Marines here.
Thank you for your service. I'm concerned that this guy, this is probably why we had to have a fucking military draft, because this guy's going around killing all these soldiers.
I know. Let's see. Welts on Keith's wrist indicated that he had been bound before he was strangled. 3 weeks later, on July 6th, Kraft killed a 23-year-old hitchhiker named Keith Klingbeil. The youth had ingested large doses of drugs and alcohol before he was strangled and discarded. Although Klingbeil was still alive when discovered, he would die shortly after his admission to the hospital. A subsequent autopsy revealed that prior to strangulation, his left nipple had been seared with an automobile cigarette lighter.
Not the nipple burn.
Yeah.
Oh, not the nipple burn.
Yes.
That's what happens when you date a goth. I think that's what.
You got to burn your own nipples.
They burn your nipples during sex.
I don't think so.
Oh, do they really? I don't know. I'm trying. Maybe I learned something here.
No. Does he look like he knows shit from Apple Butter about goth anything? Hey, look at him.
Do you got scars on your nipples?
From Lexington. That's
look at his
city.
Fucking vanilla bean persona here. Do you think that he knows anything about goth?
He does. He knew
no street cred.
He knew the street name for Long Beach.
LBC.
Everybody knows the
West
street
Side.
Name. Yeah. Everybody knows the street name for Long Beach.
You never know. I could have scars on my nipples.
You got nothing. I just saw your nipples on vacation. They're very tiny,
but they're scar-free. You do make a good point. He is the man with the Martian on his tattoo on his shoulder.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. All right. So the guy's nipple had been seared with an automobile cigarette lighter on November 18th, 1978.
I don't think Suge Knight would be hanging out with him. If he's got a Martian.
I'd go hang out with Suge.
Oh,
for
I
real.
Think they'd be homies.
Yeah.
Even though he's got a Martian
tattoo
on his
shoulder. Yeah.
Suge would be like.
Henny up in this motherfucker?
That's out of this world.
Oh, for get some, that's so bad.
Get some Henny?
No. Hush.
You know, Colonel.
You're just making me sadder.
Colonel and him and Suge Knight had a feud going on.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I was about to fuck Suge up.
I'm going to leave because
Sugar's going to show up here.
Sugar's going to come in here and fucking shit up.
Sugar's going to
show up. Wrap out the jammy.
All right.
He's going to whip out the jammy.
Yeah, I got my boys, my posse waiting for Sugar.
Did you say whip out his jammy? That's a dick. Okay, I'm just making sure you're aware.
I know what it is.
Hey, Sugar's been time in prison.
I will beat Sugar with my whammy. I'll slap him right upside the head with the whammy.
Whip out his jammy.
You know how many people been hit by the jammy?
You're gonna have to get your shit together.
You can't always have a gun with you. Sometimes you got to pull out the jammy and just slap them like a billy club, really.
Kill the poop, Manny.
His jammy runs deep.
Yeah,
deep. Put an ass to sleep.
You know, sometimes you don't have white gloves on you.
Today,
and you
got
to challenge somebody to a duel, and you just grab the jammy.
Today, Chuck didn't even have to use his AK.
Yeah.
Today, I'm telling you what. Sir Knight is going to be here, whip out his jammy, and slap Chuck with it.
No.
I'll stay for that.
We're going to have a jammy war. I'm putting my money on the general.
Like a sword fight?
Yeah, a sword fight.
Because
Chuck saw his name on the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it said Hawk Waters is a pimp.
It did not say that. All right.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So they found...
I'm Pimpalicious.
Pimpalicious.
That is going to be his new name.
Pimpalicious.
That's his rapper name.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So on November 18th, 1978... I'm going to
introduce them like that
from now on. Oh, definitely. The castrated body of 21-year-old truck driver Michael...
What is it with him and castration?
Enderbeaten was found.
Collect stamps
Enderbeaten?
Or something.
Enderbeaten.
Man, that's a unfortunate last name.
Yeah.
Kraft is not known to have killed again until June 16th of 1979 when
That's
he abducted.
That's called a cooling off period.
Thank you. When he abducted a 20-year-old Marine.
And
thank
he pulled
you for
out
your
his
service.
Jammy.
Thank
no,
you for your service.
Donald Crissel. His body was thrown from a moving vehicle onto the 405 freeway.
Oh, I bet that caused some road or some traffic jam.
Probably not.
Some road rash too.
405
the cause,
gets busy.
I know, but you think those bitches stop for anything?
Probably.
You know, did he have to get out of the carpool lane after
exactly.
he did that?
Oh, for sure. Guaranteed.
The cause,
probably got their
he didn't want to break the
you know,
law.
Now they got their flashing signs that says, please do not throw your castrated corpses out into the interstate.
All because of this guy.
Dispose of castrated corpses properly.
Exactly. The cause of death was
just
listed.
Just takes one, ruins the fun for everybody.
The cause of death was listed as acute alcohol poisoning, although rope marks indicated the man had been bound and tortured. 3 months later, on September 14th...
Hold on, just 1 second, Devil.
You're coming straight out of Compton.
Hold on, just 1 second. This motherfucker gets strangled, thrown out of a moving car 55 miles an hour, castrated, eyes burned out, and everything else.
It's a different guy. I'm going to need you to pay attention.
And the cause of death is alcohol poisoning?
No, it's a different guy, so I'm going to need you to pay attention.
Hold on, what happened to this guy? He got thrown out of the car.
He was thrown out of a vehicle under
okay.
the 405.
Motherfucker hit the road at 65 miles an hour with his hands tied behind his back.
Doesn't say
and
that.
They're gonna... Did he have a habit of tying people up?
Look, there were rope marks indicating that the man had been bound and tortured, but when he hit the 405, he was not bound. Or it wouldn't
oh,
have
so
been
he
marks.
Just tuck and roll in.
Well, no, because he died of alcohol poisoning.
So he was dead probably when he pitched him out onto the 405.
Well, then why you got to tie him up and burn him and shit?
You are the stupidest fucking son of a bitch. I swear to Christ. Can you fucking catch up? Can you goddamn pay attention?
Hey, some respect. It's Pimpalicious here.
You talking to Pimpalicious. Don't make me get out the jammy, bitch. I will knock you upside the head with... Oh, I'll put you right
name.
In your place. Casey.
Your pimp slap you.
I will pimp slap you. Casey, my posse over here.
You better be real careful.
All right, Casey, so break it down for
Casey. See me whoop people's ass before.
Now, come on, just if you could tell this story a little
Jesus
bit clearer,
Christ.
More clearly, I would not be
Colonel. The,
so
the man was not tied up when he threw him.
He
out
was
of the
already
car.
Dead.
Okay,
he was
already
dead.
Dead.
They just threw the dead body who had died from
on the 405.
Yeah.
He recycled the rope. Does that make you feel
okay.
better? He's going to use it again.
I just wish you would be more clear about
oh
this.
Whipped out the jammy.
Jesus. 3 months later. Jamie. 3 months later. 3 months.
Cooling off period.
Cooling off period.
The body of 20-year-old Gregory Wallace Jolly was found in Lake Arrowhead. Jolly
that's not,
stopped.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah. Jolly had been emasculated, and his head and legs had been severed after death.
Whipped off the jammy.
That's, that's when.
Couldn't do nothing to that poot nanny.
That's when
his personal possessions. Stop. This is sad.
He was no longer
this
jolly.
Is not, this is not
his fun, personal right. possessions were later found in Kraft's home. On February 18th, 1980, the decapitated body of a 19-year-old Marine, thank you for your service, Mark Allen Marsh, was found near the Templin Highway. On September 3rd, 1980.
He had a thing for our soldiers, didn't he?
Yeah.
He liked the man in uniform.
Yeah, I guess.
On September 3rd, 1980, the body of 19-year-old Marine, thank you for your service, Robert Loggins, was found discarded in a trash bag. Loggins had last been seen alive by two fellow Marines.
Uncle of Kenny Loggins.
Close. Might have been. Close
yeah.
to the Pacific Coast
His
Highway.
His dad was the leader of the band.
What about Kenny Loggins?
I already said
That's
that.
That's not leader of the band. That's
else.
The other guy.
Oh.
Kenny Loggins
sorry,
wasn't leader of the
what
band. That's,
that was Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah.
They're the same guy.
Cousins.
I don't know that they are the same guy.
Please
one of them's
come
dead.
To Boston for the
Dan Fogelberg is dead, I think.
Yes.
We're showing our whiteness at this point.
You know a band I don't like, Casey? Chicago. Yeah. That's the stupidest fucking band. I don't. I, every song they have is the same.
I'll tell you who.
They had one good album, I think.
I like Chicago.
They jumped the shark with Peter Cetera when they brought him in. It was just too much. And then when Peter Cetera went out on his own, that was way too much.
Welcome to a new segment we call White Talk.
No, not me. I'm just saying. Like Chicago. I think they suck.
I know. You don't like their name.
I don't like their name. They name after a city. Why not, you know?
So you don't like Boston?
I do. I do like those two songs, Don't Look Back and the other song they had. More Than a Feeling.
What about Amanda? Feeling.
No.
You don't like Amanda?
No. Okay. That was, besides that was Kris Kristofferson.
No, it wasn't.
Amanda.
No.
He sang a song.
He did sing a song, Amanda.
He might have, but so did Boston.
Like 20 years after Kris Kristofferson?
I don't give a flying fuck what Kris Kristofferson did. He's I don't give a goddamn. Really?
If it's the same song, my guess is Kris Kristofferson wrote it.
It's not the same song, but Kris Kristofferson is a living American legend. Has some goddamn respect.
He's a poet.
I can't even tell you how much I don't genius. Care. Who has been in Blade 3?
Kris Kristofferson will whip out the jammy.
The motherfucker was a Rhodes Scholar.
Will
he went to Oxford.
Still not caring.
He was He's also a decorated soldier.
He was appointed to West Point to teach and went to Nashville to be a songwriter.
He was part of the Highwaymen.
He was part of the Highwaymen.
Whipped out the jammy.
Him and Bobby McGee just traveling down the highway. He banged Janis Joplin.
He was, you know what? He was busted flat in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting for a train.
He was feeling nearly faded as his jeans. Mm-hmm.
But
are you done, ladies?
Bobby flagged the diesel down.
I mean, you're both pretty.
White Talk is brought to you by Ovaltine.
Fort Wayne.
Yeah. Took them all the way to New Orleans.
You're both pretty girls. Quit competing for
really,
attention.
That's not, you know, when you think about it, that's not that far from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. That's not that far.
Well, it is when you pull your harpoon out of your dirty red bandana, Timmy.
And he sang every song that fucker knew from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. I mean, really?
Well,
I mean, that's not a lot of songs. I mean, you know, you get it's probably like what 90 miles from Baton Rouge to New Orleans.
You don't know what he was hauling. If it was dangerous material, you don't. I mean, you know,
well, that doesn't. Happen.
Maybe Bobby was drunk. He had a recent head injury.
They
I
sung every song that driver knew. He had to know more than 4 or 5 songs.
Maybe he spent a lot of time on the CB.
The driver was slow.
Or he just liked 2 or 3 songs.
You know what would be better?
Your comments, Brandy.
Just, would you please give us more facts about Mr. Kraft, Devil?
Yes.
I've been trying to, and you want to talk about fucking Kris Kristofferson.
No, you disrespected Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, we will not sit here.
Why don't you have a go at Bob Dylan next?
I think you should just say you're sorry.
Admit that you're wrong. Admit that you're wrong, and we'll move on. Otherwise, Kris Kristofferson, his old white ass is going to come in here and whip out the jammy,
and he'll forget about it as soon as he leaves.
Thank you for your service, Kris Kristofferson.
Yes, American
hero. Doesn't he have Alzheimer's?
No, that was Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh, I thought Kris Kristofferson.
He was a rhinestone cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
I thought he was a lineman for the county.
Both. He did that before he was a cowboy.
I see. Photographs and negatives subsequently found in Kraft's possession.
Photographs and negatives. That's kind of a Jim Croce song.
Yeah, kind of.
Photographs and memories.
Close.
Christmas cards you sent to me. All that I have. Something.
You know,
something.
He said, when I was little, I thought his name
I
was
wish people
Jim
out
Crotch.
There in radio land could. I wish people out in podcast land could see. The look of disdain on Brandy's face right now.
I thought his name was Jim Crotchy.
Jim Crotchy.
I can't find my screwdriver. I think they hit it on me.
I liked Jim Crotchy, but his name is spelled weird.
But if you was going to save time in a bottle, what would you do with it? I never got that.
Shove it up your ass.
I mean, no. I mean, what you going to do with time in a bottle?
Yeah, it was.
You going to drink the
it's
time?
It's nonsensical, Brandy.
Hmm? See... We're trying to have a serious discussion here about physics, the time-space continuum, and you're talking about sticking things in rectums.
Yeah. It, you know.
You can't have an intelligent conversation.
No, I mean, let's face it. She's not Einstein.
Ain't no splitting the atom going on in this motherfucker.
Continue, Brandy. Tell us about...
Tell us more, Devil. Tell us more.
Tell us more about whoever this guy's name is. Tell us more about Randy Stephen Kraft, the scorecard killer. Great script written by Jason Dykes.
Are you done, girls?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so photographs and negatives subsequently found in Kraft's possession depict Loggins in Kraft's living room slumped fully clothed on his sofa and in various nude pornographic postures. All of these pictures depict Loggins with his eyes closed, and it is unknown whether the victim is alive or dead at the time they were taken. By early 1982, the relationship between Kraft and Selig had become marred by frequent quarreling and episodes
Of
separation.
Marred. He's painting a picture.
It is. In an effort to maintain their relationship, the couple began attending weekly counseling sessions.
Let me tell you, that doesn't
work. He was working on it.
Did you just post on Facebook 3 minutes ago?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. No wonder this show is just all disjointed.
Well, when you all were having your so very scholarly discussion of Chicago, I had time.
I think Peter Cetera ever whipped out the jammy.
Just a tiny little one.
With Mrs. Cetera, that would have been okay, Brandy.
Kraft did not kill again until January 22nd of 1983 when he abducted a 21-year-old hitchhiker named Eric Church.
That's a cooling off period.
Thank you.
I like Eric Church. He's got some good songs out right now.
Well, an autopsy concluded that Church had ingested high levels of alcohol and Valium and had been sodomized. Rope marks on Church's wrist indicated that he struggled before he died. On February 12th, Kraft killed two Buena Park men, 18-year-old Joffrey Nelson and 20-year-old Roger Duvall. The two youths were last seen outside...
Son of Robert Duvall.
Maybe. The two youths were last seen outside the house of a friend named Bryce Wilson shortly after midnight.
Is Bryce spelled with a Y or an I?
Y.
Thank you. Write that down, Colonel.
Got it.
Informing Wilson that they intended to purchase something to eat. So they were going to, I don't know why it's written that way. They were going to get a snack, and they told him.
They're going through the drive-thru somewhere. Arby's or something?
Yeah. Let's see. Both bodies were found with the signature strangulation marks known to Kraft's victims. At 1:10 a.m. on March 14th, 1983, California Highway Patrol officers,
Chips
Ponch, observed Toyota driving erratically on Interstate 5 in Mission Viejo.
Okay, Brandy, Chip or the blonde-haired guy? Ponch or the blonde-haired guy, if you had to sleep with one?
I like the blonde-haired guy.
All right, what was his name?
Larry David.
John.
I don't think it's Larry David. It's Larry something, though.
His name was John.
On the show.
Yeah. Big Bad John.
The officers signaled for the vehicle to stop. The driver slowed the vehicle to a halt and exited the car. Officer Michael Sterling met the individual who identified himself.
You ever notice
himself.
In the 70s, they had all these TV shows. There was one blonde-headed guy and one guy with dark hair.
It's diversity. Yeah.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Bo and Luke Duke.
Exactly.
It's diversity, yeah. Tim.
Hold on. Starsky and Hutch, you know who...
I thought it was Luke Wilson.
Who they loosely based Huggy Bear off of.
No.
The Colonel.
Oh, I thought they...
Because I'm Pimpalicious.
He is Pimpalicious.
All right. He identified himself as Randy Kraft and
How
observed...
How about BJ and the Bear? I would never give BJ to a bear.
They don't like that.
Well, they like it, but they're real picky. Better do it right.
when they put that big ass... paw on the back of your head.
You're an idiot. Bears will whip out the jam.
Fucking idiot.
All the years I've seen BJ and the Bear, and I ain't never thought about
never put that together,
blowing a bear.
You know, the weird thing is, BJ was a monkey.
And you know,
no.
The bear was a monkey. Why wasn't it BJ and the monkey?
Don't know. I don't know.
It would have made much more sense. It'd been easier to follow for me.
Well, what cartoon is this?
It was a TV show.
It was a show called BJ and the Bear.
And BJ was the bear.
BJ was a truck driver.
Yeah.
And he had this monkey. It was a chimp, and his name was Bear.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they had adventures.
Man, that truck had to have shit all over it, because you know monkeys just throw that
stuff
around.
Well, he wore a diaper, for God's sake.
Yeah. But that doesn't stop it. As a young man, it was very
difficult for me to follow, because the monkey's name was Bear. That's someone else.
And in all your picture books, it was a monkey.
Why not call it BJ and the Monkey? It would have been just as successful.
Why didn't you stop puffing paint so that you could follow it for a minute?
Anyway, as a warning to all of our listeners, be very careful if you give an oral sex to a grizzly.
Public disclaimer.
Now, if you're doing a brown bear, they're more general. Brown bears are general.
Polar bears, but you get a polar bear,
a grizzly bear, they'll shove the
jammy through the back of your head.
They're the S&M bears.
That's perfect. So, Randy Kraft gets pulled over. His jeans are unbuttoned. The officer has Kraft perform a sobriety test, which he failed. So he's arrested for DWI.
Drunk again.
Sterling's partner, Sergeant Michael Howard, approached the Toyota and observed a young man with his eyes closed in the vehicle passenger seat, partially covered by a jacket, with an empty beer bottle, with empty beer bottles strewn about his feet.
Okay, so he's like Weekend at Bernie's.
So Howard attempted to wake the man.
He was just trying to use that carpool lane.
He's still trying to use the carpool lane.
Aren't we all?
It doesn't. Yeah. That's why this one gets more difficult to explain when you're driving around with a dead body.
Well, right.
Sitting in the front seat.
Casey's a guest. We only gave him 2 pages. That's not fair.
All right. So I guess I'm on. Receiving no response to his verbal efforts, Howard attempted to rouse the man by shaking his arm, only to note that the individual had a low body temperature.
Why didn't he hit him with his dick? That seems to be a thing.
What about his jammy?
He worked out his jammy. Upon feeling for a pulse, Howard noted the man was dead.
Oh.
A ligature mark visible encircled the youth's neck, lifting the jacket from the deceased youth's lap. Howard noted the victim's jeans had been opened to expose the genitalia. So he hadn't emasculated.
Cut his junk off.
He hadn't emasculated this one.
It is hard to explain a dead body in your front seat.
Fuck yeah, man. I don't know how many times that's happened to me.
You know what sucks is when you're the lucky one and didn't get the balls
if
cut off.
If you get a cool cop, they'll let you go on.
Yeah. You know, that's why you put in
this. It's the dicks that take you to jail
and
question you.
That's why you have the bumper sticker that you contributed to the Sheriff's Association. Yeah, so if you get pulled over with a dead body.
I got an FOP license plate.
Then there's all these questions.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying.
Booking.
But if you're a Freemason,
I got to get fingerprinted. God damn it. In addition, the youth's hands had been bound with his shoelaces, and his wrist bore evidence of welt marks. Later identified as Terry Lee Gambrill, a 25-year-old Marine.
Thank you for your service.
The victim had been
all
strangled
over these,
to death.
Marines.
You'd think the Marines could whoop his ass, though.
Oh, shit. Kraft was initially charged with driving under the influence and held in.
I bet those
That's
charges.
That's the only charge.
I bet those charges
DUI.
Got amended.
DUI.
You think?
We can make this one stick, I think.
He pled that one down to reckless op and was out in 24 hours.
There we go.
Under the influence and was held in custody as detectives conducted a thorough search of the vehicle. Incriminating evidence
Who
found...
Who knows what else they found? There's a dead body. What else can we find?
Yeah.
Incriminating evidence found included alcohol, tranquilizers, various prescription drugs, and stimulants.
Oh, and a dead body.
And 35 penises in the trunk.
Do you think... Yeah, random.
I wonder what he did with all the penises.
Well, he shoved a couple of them up people's asses.
I don't know. You can shove a flaccid penis in somebody's.
They did.
Oh, you know, rigor mortis had set in. Those things were
on the penis.
How you would think
it was cut off.
Still gonna doesn't rigor mortis.
Maybe he sticks a dowel rod in it. I don't know, but one of them. Had you been listening instead of running your fucking yappers.
I know, but you gotta get bam, bam, hit that thing with a hammer.
At least one of the people that he killed had their own penis shoved up their rear end.
If let's say you have an erection. And your penis is
Let's
cut off.
Let's for longer than 4 hours.
And your
Let's
penis
say that.
Is cut off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does it stay hard? Or do you think shrinking?
It loses blood flow.
Yeah, you lose blood flow.
Not if you was on your stomach because all the blood would pool. Hell, you'd have like a 14-inch pecker by then.
If it was detached, though, you wouldn't have
it. Oh, if it was detached?
Yeah.
Well, eventually
that would be the cutting
kind of cross
off.
This is going to be your homework assignment. Do that for next podcast and report back.
I'll let you know.
Thank you, Carl.
So where was I? The passenger seat and the carpet of the vehicle was bloodstained. However, Gambrill had no open wounds. The upholstery was removed for forensic analysis, which confirmed the blood was human. Beneath the carpet, investigators discovered an envelope containing over 50 pictures of young men in pornographic poses. Many of the subjects in the pictures appeared either asleep or dead. Inside the trunk of Kraft's vehicle, investigators found a notebook containing a handwritten list of codes, list of coded notations. A search of Kraft's home revealed further incriminating evidence, including clothes, personal possessions of numerous young men who had been murdered. Fibers taken from a rug matched those found upon victim Scott Hughes. H-U-G-H-E-S, is that correct?
Hughes.
Okay, got it right. Yes. In addition, the couch in Kraft's living room was identified as being the one in the photographs found in Kraft's car. I bet that couch is just
disgusting.
Nasty. The coded list of 61 neatly printed terms and phrases found in Kraft's car is believed to refer to each of Kraft's victims. Several entries clearly refer to victims' names. For example, the entry reading EDM refers to the initials of victim Edward Daniel Moore. In other instances, entries indicate torture or manipulation, infliction upon victims' bodies and or places they were last seen. The entry Marine Head BP, for example, is believed to refer to victim Mark Marsh, a Marine found decapitated, having last been seen hitchhiking towards Buena Park. Other entries simply hark towards body dumps. Dump locations. The entry Golden Sales, for example, refers to the fact that body of Craig Jontis was found in the parking lot of the Golden Sales Hotel. Once again, this is a comedy podcast, so
right.
Thank you for listening. The list also contains entries indicating double murders GR2, victims Dennis Alt and Christopher Sheborn, last seen in Grand Rapids, Michigan. 2-1 Beach, victims Jeffrey Nielsen and Roger Duvall.
Here's the thing. If you're going to kill a bunch of people, don't write it down.
Don't write it down.
No. Don't keep a journal.
I've always said that.
It's my motto.
On March 16th, 1983, Kraft was formally charged with the murder of Terry Lee Gambrill. Investigators interviewed over 700 witnesses and gathered more than 250 physical exhibits, which pointed towards Kraft's guilt in further 15 homicides committed between 1972 and 1983. Kraft was charged with Kraft was charged with 15 additional homicides: Edward Moore, Kevin Bailey, Ronnie Weeb, Ken Crotwell, Mark Hall, Scott Hughes, Ronald Young, Richard Keith, Keith Killy, Klingbeil, Michael Inbertine, Donald Crissel, Robert Loggins, Eric Church, Roger Duvall, and Jeffrey Nelson.
He didn't even try and cover his tracks, though. He just left shit all out there.
Right,
just...
and then keeping a record of it.
Right.
Not very bright.
An idiot.
You know, I think if you're going to be a serial killer, you should be a type A personality. I think it would
benefit.
That they get so confident that they're never going to be caught that they just...
Right. Well, and he hadn't been.
Yeah.
Had he not had the dead body in his car...
Yeah.
This guy had stiff socks sitting all over his apartment. You just know it.
You know that's right.
Oh, God. Oh. Those were not the ones shoved up.
I bet they called in 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come in and clear that place out.
Jesus.
Yeah, you wouldn't want
to. He had all kinds of junk.
What do they call
the
cleaners?
Right,
they get people to come in and do that.
Kraft's trial began on September.
What do you mean, what do they call them, the cleaners?
Oh, you know, people go in and clean up like crime scenes where somebody's killed themselves. Cleaners, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be the hell of a way to make a living, though. You would never not have work.
But and you would be the life of the party because you could tell all the stories.
Oh, God, yeah.
But you would never not have work.
You'd
make bank.
My brother owned a carpet cleaning business.
His carpet cleaning van. Yeah.
And he got hired to go in after this woman had been killed in her apartment. And it's like his whole... You know, his machine that he used, it got all the blood and stuff. He told me he quit halfway through. And
you know what? Here's the thing, though. You know,
you should really call a professional, somebody who's done that before.
Well, and you should really just buy new carpet.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
It was like, you know, blood splatter was like all over the apartment.
No, well, maybe
it
was fine, buy some new carpet.
Well, no, it's
spring
not really
for
fine.
It.
Maybe it was
I don't know if your insurance covers that, though.
Maybe it was a rental and the guy.
It was like an apartment complex.
Yeah.
I would just invest in some new carpet for that place.
But that's more money. And if you're trying to turn a profit in the apartment, you don't have to buy
a
new carpet.
Narrow margin.
Here's another thing. Here's my other question. Do you have to disclose that somebody was killed in that apartment?
You not do
to,
on a house.
I know you do it. On a house. House.
You do, but not an apartment.
See?
That's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
So Kraft's trial began on September 26, 1988. At the trial, 160 witnesses were called to testify, and over 1,000 exhibits were introduced as evidence. The evidence pointing towards Kraft's guilt included physical evidence, such as bloodstains and hairs, and fiber evidence found at Kraft's Long Beach residence and in his vehicle.
Body in his car.
That was probably the one that really pushed it.
Yeah, it really
over.
Turned on.
Can't really fucking corpse. Can't really get out of that one.
Yeah,
he was alive when he got. Don't look at me.
I stole this car. I don't fucking know.
That's right. It's not even my car. I've never seen this car.
The negatives and photographs of young men identified as murder victims found hidden inside Kraft's vehicle, which depicted the youths either dead or drugged or asleep, and which background imaginary revealed had been taken at Kraft's home.
Background what?
Yeah, I'm trying to read
imagery?
That. Imagery, there you go.
There it is.
Man, I'm telling you.
Jake Wellen.
The victims were set, basically, from the background in the pictures, they could tell it was Kraft's house.
Let me tell you.
Let's not tell the fucking story.
Basically, I love the story. To break it down for us.
Yeah. Let me tell you a great story about Casey.
Let's just, and let's preface this by I'm in sixth fucking grade.
He was not in sixth grade.
I'm in sixth fucking grade.
He was not in sixth grade.
Oh, we're going to do this. We're really going to have this. We're going to have drunk Christmas here at work.
No, I mispronounced the fucking word.
No, it wasn't a word.
It
no,
was
listen,
Jacqueline Kennedy. It was Jacqueline Kennedy. I pronounced it wrong. I was in sixth grade. Let's all have a laugh
first
and move
all,
the fuck on.
It wasn't
you
sixth grade.
You seem a little sensitive about this.
It wasn't sixth grade. It was high
school. You know, I love how he always jumps in and defends me when I mispronounce
30.
The word. Please continue, Brandon.
30 fucking years I've been listening to this.
Oh, yeah, because we rip his ass for it. We're playing trivial.
But before, and it wasn't that funny.
But before, she only had a handful of listeners. Now we got 100,000. Continue, Brandy.
Right.
Well, no.
I mispronounced Jacqueline Kennedy.
We are mean. We're mean people.
You
we really
are. Mean
are.
People.
Like, our whole family is
you
just awful.
With Jackie is the easiest thing.
Oh, no.
But I was reading the card.
He was reading the card, which Casey really wasn't
allowed.
Was this
allowed. Like in front of the school?
No.
Okay.
No, this
we
is
were
just at
home.
The house. It's not
so it
funny.
Ain't like he pissed his pants on the bus
no,
or something.
But we
no.
never
okay.
let
that
Casey
only happened
read
two
the
or
cards.
Three times.
Casey would. We never let Casey read the card because he wasn't that strong of a reader, and he was in high school.
I
so
was
we
in
finally
sixth
let him
fucking
read the
grade.
He was. You were in high school.
Sophomore in college.
Yeah, exactly. So he's
well,
sitting there.
He didn't have an economics professor to blow to get good grades.
You don't know
thank
that,
you, Chuck.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Thanks, Chuck.
You don't know him.
All right,
you don't know that.
On to the store.
So he's sitting there, and
it's
all,
a ball buster, let me tell
we're
you.
We're waiting to hear this, and he starts pronouncing it, and he's like, Jacqueline. And it was like, and he insisted, he was like so insistent that it was Jacqueline Kennedy. And we're like, it's Jacqueline. And we're like falling over. No, it's goddamn not. It was a good time.
Well, it wasn't that far off.
Yeah, it's a funny story.
It
ha,
was
ha.
A funny
yeah.
story.
Did I ever tell you the time about I castrated
Yes, you
pigs?
Have.
Okay.
And I've never told you that
There's
story.
There's nothing funny down that road.
And I, that story.
Yeah,
so,
be
hold
there.
On.
That
so hold on.
That
so what you
up.
Have basically
Wait a minute.
Is
what?
A six-year-old boy.
He wasn't six.
I was in sixth
little,
grade.
Sixth
he wasn't.
Grade, 12-year-old boy. Had a little bit of problem
he
with
not
a
in sixth grade.
Four-syllable name.
Exactly.
Got a little bit hung up. Now, when
he was
fell
in high
down
school.
On his bike, did you run out and mock him then, too?
Yes.
Yeah, I yeah. mean.
Yes.
It's no wonder the boy's not in therapy
no,
right
wait a minute.
Now.
Of course I would go out and mock him, and then when other people would join me, I would whoop their ass for mocking him.
But, I mean, look at the poor. Look, he's standing there right now. He's sitting there right now. You can see. You can see the damage that's been done to Casey.
Casey, I want to apologize.
It's amazing.
That wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Ladies, would you go, ha, would ha. You take Casey home?
A 12-year-old, a 12-year-old boy.
You were not 12. You were in high school.
A 12-year-old boy mispronounced a word. Ha ha! It's not that funny.
Yeah.
You were in high school.
Mean,
he did not shot himself.
It's kind of mean.
Now, fuck you people.
Why
if
you
he
like
had
that?
Her, now if he had called her Jacqueline, or what?
Hey,
you,
let's
you
go to your Facebook page and see if the people on your put in a survey is the story funny or not?
Yeah, Jacqueline.
Is
he
it
called
fucking
Jacqueline,
funny?
And then he whipped out his jammy. That would have been a story.
That's what I should have done.
But that would have been a story. I mean, that story sucked.
Because even
why are you so mean to
thank
the
you,
boy?
Demi.
Continue, I mean, continue,
ladies.
Casey.
Listen,
I apologize.
Ladies,
you know what? To air your dirty laundry,
Team Colonel, ladies. I need you to be nice to Casey. He needs some loving because this is some coming comforting. From
and let's be yeah. honest here anyway. This is the moneymaker right here anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is the moneymaker.
Good thing, because you're dumber than a sack of hair.
All right. So, Brandy, that was a very mean and cruel story.
Yeah.
And making fun of a man who's this trying being a
comedy podcast.
I was trying to better myself through education.
Yeah.
So, that sucked. Casey, continue with young Mr.
This show got me more depressed than...
Other evidence introduced, including numerous personal possessions of various murder victims found in Kraft's possession following his arrest.
Okay. Now we're going to the colonel, who will bring us home.
Let's hear this. Let's hear the story about, any other... faults of mine that you want
to
make.
Fucking say, I'll tell you that you people are fucking ridiculous.
Well, I'm just why.
Let's make fun of my ADD. Let's make fun of my ADD.
Your brother comes up here all the way from Louisville.
No.
Comes up here all the way from Louisville.
Lexington.
Lexington. Yeah.
You know they're different places, right?
It's in Kentucky, and they both start with L. They're both
delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he comes here out of the kindness out of his heart. To do a show
I ain't making
with
no
us.
Money with this.
Yeah, he ain't
a dime.
No, the lettuce ain't rolling into him. And he says, you know what? Let me help you out here. I know you're trying to get
but
your podcast off
the ground.
But you're
supposed to be making money.
Hey, when
you
I'm,
are sitting here.
Hey, when I'm here, the Warhammer ain't working, and I'm not making money.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But you got that really cool van.
That's right.
And you mock him. You mock him.
You're just like I mock you.
You're a mocker. Yes. Continue, Pimpalicious.
You need some therapy, devil.
No shit.
Something happened to you when you was young that's made you angry and it's
don't
still...
disrespect.
It wasn't when
don't
I was young. It's been within the last, I don't know, 5 years that
don't
I've been so angry.
Don't disrespect Pimpalicious.
Yeah.
He will pimp slap your ass.
With the whammy.
He will not do
I got
any
the whammy.
With the whammy
I got
out.
The whammy jammy, Timmy.
That rhymes.
Good.
Just pointing it out.
Okay,
very
now,
good.
Let's get back to this story here before the devil starts telling, stories about her parents when they was, I don't know, sick or something.
Yeah, but,
our dad's sick right now. You want to find some humor in that?
Oh, your dad's sick?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with your dad?
He's just sick.
Tell a funny story about it.
Oh, I have several, but I'm not going to tell
any. You're going to mock your old father?
Sure.
Yeah, well.
Because my father would absolutely mock me.
You're going straight to hell, devil.
No
Now, following
kidding.
The closing arguments, the jury deliberated for a total of 11 days. God damn. These were some...
Well, but
Tim wanted the lunch.
I mean, it was kind of a gray area. You got the guy, it's a dead body in the car, but...
Yeah.
Can we really prove he put it there?
Yeah, right.
So it took them 11 days.
Maybe a hitchhiker.
These weren't the smartest of folks. They
wanted
like,
the free lunch.
Captain Obvious apparently was not on this jury.
Went some time off work.
And they found him guilty of 16 counts of murder. And on June 5, the same jury reconvened for the penalty phase of the trial.
Hmm.
It was at this point in which the prosecution introduced evidence of additional homicides committed in
can
both Oregon and Michigan. Yeah, you can do that in the death penalty phase. At death penalty, Dominique, if she was here, she would explain it very clearly to you.
Now but he's an expert.
I've heard Dominique say this. Sentencing in a death penalty phase, you can bring up damn near anything.
So this is a death penalty.
It does not have to be
so this is
proven
a death penalty
fact.
Case.
Yeah, it's a death penalty case.
So when you go on trial fact. During your penalty phase, we can talk how you mocked 12-year-olds who can't read very
it's
well.
It's coming up, yeah. It's the dead kid.
Whatever.
Remember that kid on the crutches with that kid you went to school with the polio?
Yeah.
That she used to knock the
knock his
out
polio.
Yeah.
Knock the crutches out from
little
underneath.
Little tiny Tim.
With the polio.
Oh, the polio. Yeah. You did that?
Mm-hmm. She did it to Napoleo Dynamite.
Fucking polio. Napoleo Dynamite.
That was his name. Napoleo Dynamite. So it was at this point the prosecution introduced evidence of these other homicides. Now, the defense dismissed these assertions.
Better get
saying,
that word right or she'll make fun of you.
No, it's purely speculative.
Speculative.
Introduced
about
testimony
that,
relating to a PET scan conducted on Kraft, which, they asserted, revealed abnormalities in the frontal lobe of Kraft's brain. I wonder what your PET scan would look like, Devil. I wonder if there'd be some abnormalities there.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Medulla oblongata.
Look like Swiss cheese in there. Therefore, reducing his ability to control his emotions and impulse. The prosecution responded by stating to the jury, there is nothing wrong with Mr. Kraft's mind other than he likes killing for sexual satisfaction. He
likes to whip out the jammy.
He likes to
cut the jammy off.
Cuts the jammy off.
On August 11th, after deliberating, the
that
jury...
That means they come together and talk about it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We need to...
Yeah.
Have a, that's yeah. okay. So were you with us still, Devil? Deliberating. They was talking it over. Mm-hmm. They recommended the death penalty.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the California Supreme Court heard it on August 11, 2000. Now, both circumstantial and DNA evidence relating to Summercraft's murder have caused many to strongly suspect that Kraft had help in some of his murders. It's contended that Kraft would have had difficulty moving 200-pound corpses, dumping them from moving vehicles while alone, while doing this unnoticed. I can tell you, I'll shoot holes in that theory right now. Because Renee has kicked me out of a moving vehicle, and I'm 200 pounds, Timmy.
Good point, Colonel.
And she done it.
Brandy, so, you got to admire the wisdom and insight that he brings to every podcast.
I think the fact that we all skipped over your dead weight comment is kind of unfortunate.
I know, I thought it was good, too.
Abrasions and debris found at the crime scene of some of Kraft's victims indicated that the bodies had been discarded from vehicles traveling at more than 50 miles per hour. And for one individual to perform this act without compromising his driving would be very difficult. But then again, I'm telling you,
in all seriousness, that makes some sense.
Not really.
How are you going
to
throw...
You put one foot on the gas and you use your foot to kick the other right out the goddamn door. That's what you do.
That does sound fishy to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, no, you got him leaned up against the side of... I could get a 300-pound man out of the car if he wasn't jammed up against the dashboard all fat and shit. But, I mean, if he leaning over against the door,
all I got to do
is reach over, open up the door at 50
maybe
miles
like
an hour.
Those,
it's not
maybe
that
he had
hard.
Like an ejection seat.
All fat and shit.
No, I'm just saying he's going to roll right out.
How are you going to get the passenger side door open if you're driving?
Yeah, I'm with you.
How are you
going to
open up the passenger side door if you're driving?
You haven't ever opened up your passenger door side door when you're driving?
Not the passenger side door, no.
Yeah, sometimes you haven't shut it all
the way. I kick my corpse out the driver's side door.
I've got problems with that too, Colonel. I'm not so sure that someone else wasn't involved.
Oh, I could do it.
All right.
I could do it.
It was probably one of those boyfriends that he had those long-term relationships with.
Yeah.
Seriously, that... Go driving down 55 miles an hour down the highway is kind of hard
to get a door open and then, kick it out.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I could do it.
All right, continue, Colonel.
You got long legs. Plus, you know, this guy was good with ropes, so all we had to do was lean the fat corpse against the side of the door.
These were Marines.
Why does he keep saying they're fat?
I don't think they were.
It's
probably
200 pounds.
Fat.
Might be lightweight.
5'10", 5'11".
I'm 5'10", 200 pounds.
You
do
are
I look especially
ass.
Fit?
I wouldn't call you fat.
I wouldn't call you 5'10".
Casey, how tall am I?
How the fuck would Casey know?
He's about 6 foot.
All right,
foot.
Come on. Let's get to the story. People can't see when you're standing up.
I wouldn't call him fat.
Yeah.
He's healthy.
Healthy. Thank you, Casey.
He's big boned.
He's jolly.
Jolly.
So, I'm pimpalicious. So anyway, you take a guy like me. You lean my big dead weight ass against the driver's passenger side door. You get you a rope that's hooked up to the handle, right?
Sounds like a lot of work.
This sumbitch was willing to go one step further. He cut off balls and shoved them up people's asses.
All right.
You telling me he ain't going to do a rope on a handle? I could have done that. Shit. So anyway, in the case of Eric Church, wasn't he a singer?
Welcome to the podcast.
In case
dipshit.
You mentioned that about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Semen samples found on the youth's body were inconsistent.
I thought they were Marines.
I thought the same thing, but I wasn't going to say anything.
Man, you're on fire over there, let me tell you.
Continue, Colonel. Let's wrap this thing up.
It's time for Timmy to go home.
Semen samples found on the used body were inconsistent with the Kraft's blood type, and while the photographs of the victim found in Kraft's car had to have been processed somewhere, no photo developer ever reported, because this is before the digital cameras, Timmy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when you had
they
to,
ever
you had
reported
to go in,
his morbid images to the police.
You go to 1 hour photo, though, and get your new pictures back. You know, then the, you know, the little clerk sees the picture of your
He probably had a dark. He probably had a dark room somewhere.
No, he had no dark room. It said no dark room equipment. The prosecution believed that Kraft's former lover, Jeff's grave, may have assisted with Kraft. Graves had been questioned in relation to the Cropwell murder in 1975 when he verified part of Kraft's statement to the police. When questioned further about the incident following Kraft's arrest in 1983, Graves had informed investigators, I'm really not going to pay for it, you know. Now, this is in 1983, and he died of the AIDS in 1987. So they couldn't have given him the death penalty. He already had the death penalty in 1987 if you had the AIDS. That was a death sentence back then. Mm-hmm. So at the time of his death, police had been preparing to question Graves further, but he beat the system by dying.
I'll show them. Mm-hmm.
He did. He showed them.
Kraft remains on death row at San Quentin, where Johnny Cash will not be performing anymore. And he continues to deny guilt in any of the homicides, both convicted and suspected. This is a sumbitch that's going to stand his ground.
It wasn't me.
Yeah. See, you don't want him as your cellmate.
It wasn't me.
Casey, your final thoughts on serial killer Randy Stephen Kraft?
I think that I think he very likely had some help, and I don't think it's funny to make fun of early teenage boys who can't read all that well.
Having some reading problems.
Those are my final thoughts.
You seem to have worked hard to overcome that obstacle, and because your enunciation.
So did Helen Keller.
And your reading. Was excellent today.
But she cannot overcome her dark heart.
No, you can't. You can't overcome that cold, stony, black hole in the middle of your chest.
Brandy, you know what?
Casey is going to pay for all of this bullshit this weekend. So
Casey's going to pay. Casey been over there nice
and victim.
He's the victim.
He's going
to
pay.
So you're going to blame the victim. Blame the victim.
In this case, yes. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'm taking his youngest child. We're going to have a good time.
Your final thoughts on serial killer Randy Stephen Kraft, the scorecard killer.
Not a fan of his.
All right. Pimpalicious.
Well, I'm just saying it wasn't too goddamn funny. You want me to be funny, you're going to have to give me better material to work with. Well, people getting their sack cut off and shit shoved up their ass.
You
got
to talk to Jason, but we do appreciate Jason. He did a lot of work on the script. So
it was a nice script, but it wasn't a funny script. Wasn't fun. It wasn't oofty goofty.
We would like.
What was oofty goofty?
We would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters, those of you who help us out. We greatly appreciate it. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, a lot, or.
Just a wee tiny bit, Timmy.
Thank you, Pimpalicious. Take us out giving shout outs to all of our Patreon supporters. And a shout out to my mom. And Lady Beverly.
Lady Beverly, congratulations on your daughter Alexandra reaching her 18th birthday.
She met Princess Diana.
Huh? Yeah, of course she did.
She's clearly an amazing person.
Have you seen her?
Oh, I know. She's gorgeous. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I thought Princess Diana was dead.
She did, but before she died, this lady met her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she knew that she worked in a strip club.
Princess
Di knew that Beverly would worked in a strip club.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beverly and... To Dottie, of course.
Yes, thank you.
And to Erica Brown's brother who had surgery. He's got one more coming up. He's doing better so far, but we're still keeping him
in
our thoughts.
Yeah, hang in there. All right.
Happy birthday to Alexandria.
Yes.
18th. And going to Cambridge. Unbelievable.
Yes, amazing.
Aaron Fowler. Aaron Fowler, our beautiful friend. Bridget Bernhardt, Stacy, Christy Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, Jody Wells, of course, the Vanish podcast with Marissa Jones and her beautiful young boy there, Jess Wofford. Why are you shaking your head at me?
You know, who's writing is this? This is terrible.
I know.
Continue, please.
Tracy Smith. I'm skipping people here, I think. Is that Marik?
Let me read the fucking thing.
Well, fuck, learn how to write. We're here mocking Casey.
Like a serial killer, he writes.
You look like Charlie
Marquia
Brown's.
Smith. Thank you very much.
She's got letters backwards Tracy and Smith, shit over you. Here.
Daniel Bassett.
Let's laugh at her dyslexic.
Tommy Lane. Jason Dykes. Of course, they also thanks for the script, Jason. Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sobota, Maggie Glover, Daniel Sweet, Amber Anderson, of course, our friends Ben and Rosanna from the podcast They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, James Seabright, Michael, Kelly Charette, Karen Wagner, yeah, this handwriting does suck, Kelly Jones, Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown in the Pleasing Terror podcast, Sarah, and Amber Krupp, the lovely Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History podcast, Rebecca Omelette, Karen Alden, Cheryl, Catherine Cockgarage Richardson, Fiona, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Maja from Poland, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, Diane Student with the History Goes Bump podcast, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise from Norway, Amber Scoville, Jahara Lopes, Alicia and Chip, who just had an anniversary. Happy anniversary. Jeff and Don Chestnut from the Backroads History podcast, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Richard Flynn, Holly Woodward, Cheryl Strapp, Todd Young, Lydia Fisher, our good friend Tyrone, Phyllis Munson.
Better call Tyrone.
Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Jennifer Siemens, and of course her mother Linda, Cindy Liu, Christian, Heather Poole, Zachary, Canadian True Crime with our good friend Christy Lee, Donna, John, Sue Story, Nene, and of course, Rudy the Wonder Dog. All right, thank you everyone for joining us, and please join us again next time on History Dweebs. Bye everyone.
Bye bye.
Good day.
Bye, Casey.
See you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.